I like that. I like the most inward citadel. That's a great line. And I really like that idea of mysterious companionship. Let us rejoice in that. Very nice. Man, you guys did good. That's sometimes we have a longer prayer like that. It's hard to all stay together. You did it well. Proud of you. You can turn to Galatians 4 if you have a Bible or something that you read off there. Galatians 4, we will get to the scriptures there. Eventually, there's one I'll have somebody read from the Gospel of John, but you can park in Galatians 4. It'll be up here on the screen, but if you want to see it for yourself, there you be. So we have come to the end of what is known as the Christian year. It looks something like that, where we have immersed ourselves in the story of Jesus, and we really have. Like, I'm proud of us since January. We have really stayed in the stories of Jesus. And that's what that is. So 4 weeks before Christmas comes along, we have this season of Advent, of preparation, of thinking of the future. And then that leads us into Christmas. So Christmas doesn't just come upon us. We celebrate the incarnation for about 12 days. And then there is the season of Epiphany, where it's like this is being known, glad tidings are being spread, even to the Gentiles. We tend to talk about Jesus' baptism, beginning of his ministry, transfiguration, things like that. That leads us to Ash Wednesday. We always have an Ash Wednesday service here to begin this long season of Lent that takes us through the bottom part of winter usually, leads us to the cross and resurrection. So Christmas is the cycle of light, and Lent is the cycle of life, that there is death, but there is also resurrection and life. And then Easter isn't a one-time Sunday thing. Some don't know that, but it's like 50 days of celebration. And that's why we've had the candles up there all that time. So it's 50 days of light. And then last week we celebrated the ascension, the Jesus taking the life of man to God. And then this week it makes sense if Jesus goes up, the Spirit comes down to include us. So we celebrate Pentecost. So we have immersed ourselves in the story of Jesus, and we don't do that just to say, we're a liturgical church and we follow the Christian calendar. Now we enter into this big season of time that's known as ordinary time, where it's like there aren't these big feast days and holy days and celebrations. It's just like normal life. And now we are to live all those things that we have entered into in ordinary life. So it's kind of a picture of life for us. And hopefully the goal has been this, and I hope this is true. I think this is true for most of you, that we're not doing that just to have liturgy. We're doing that because we are to come away from this to know how loved and cherished and valued and delighted in that Christ would go to such great lengths and experience such deep animosity and hatred to share his life with us. The point of this is the wild, extravagant, outrageous love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the thing about the love of God is that it is also unsettling as well. Here's what I mean. We ended last week saying Jesus knows us in our worst. So you think of your worst day, your worst moment, your worst decision. Jesus has stood there where you were in your shoes, experienced what you've experienced, sees things from your angle, and he's tasted all of our bitter rejection. So think of this, Jesus comes in the incarnation, humanity gave him our absolute worst, and in exchange, by doing that, he penetrates to our worst, and he exchanges that for his absolute best. And now what we celebrated last week in the ascension, his presence there at the right hand of the Father shows we are forever united to this circle of life. The circle of life, Lion King stole it, if you've not heard that term. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we are connected to that human being who is within that circle of life. And we are given something, like we are given this great gift and something is being shared with us. Like your wildest dreams and hopes and you're looking for fulfillment in your work and relationships, that isn't just you. Something is being shared with you and you are participating in the life of God. But here's the thing. Here's why the love of God can be a little bit unsettling, because from now on high, and that doesn't just mean up, the New Testament uses that language to say from the position of authority and power at the control room, the center of earth, Jesus now shines a light that exposes all of our delusions. The love of God is so powerful, so bright, it exposes like all our religion, all our religious duties that we perform to get God's attention, to get God to like us, to cross whatever chasm we think is there. But the delusions, the masks, the lies, all of that. And now the human race stands in this crisis. So follow me here. If man has been lifted into the life of God, forever united with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then now we stand in this crisis of adoption. So here's what I mean. You've seen this screen before. This is who we are, and there's who we think we are. Who we are is the beloved of God from the beginning, made in the image of God, and even when we got lost in the wild imaginations of our own thinking, and could have experienced our demise. Jesus came and took on our flesh and he lived our life and he went through all the phases of human life that we go through and he took that down in death and he killed everything that is old in Adam and then he went out the back door of death and brought something new altogether, resurrection. We are clean and washed and pure and we are lifted up into the life of God. That's who you are. Jesus says that's reality. But here's the problem. This is who we think we are and it's nothing like that. And so we try to recreate ourselves, and our recreations are disasters. God has retold our stories in Jesus. We're writing a story. And our story was about to reach a climactic point that took us to complete and utter ruin. There would be no more story. So God comes and he retells our stories in Jesus. That's reality. That's the truth. So we can trust his version of our story, we can trust our version of the story, but we live out of one of those realities every day. Every day. And the thing about Pentecost is this, because Jesus has gone up with a merry noise, as we said in our liturgy last week, the Spirit now comes and Jesus is now in the house with us. And his presence begins to expose that false self. What I mean by false self is when you live by what you have or by what you do. I have this job, I have this occupation, I contribute this to the world. Or it's what people think about you. But it's not really you. Jesus exposes those false selves, the lies, the pretending, all of the religion, and he begs this question, which world will you live in, mine or yours? That's really the quandary of humanity, right? If this is true, if you've been adopted, if you've been included in the life of God, your very existence has been altered in Jesus just by being human. Your humanity used to be deeply rooted in Adam and was really about sin and death, and Jesus has changed that and now rooted it in Christ. So your very existence has been altered. And because that's true, a light shines in and it penetrates the darkness and it begins to expose all of the masks, all of the reinventions that we do. Ephesians, I think, would say it like this to us. We are wayward sons and daughters of the Father, and we have lost our minds. We're out of range, deranged. Jesus is trying to align us back. Now, we can live in this world of our own making, right? Lots of people do. A lot of people can look in on religion and say, well, this isn't true. I mean, this is fantasy. The Bible's fable stuff. I can't believe you guys in the 21st century, you're still doing this. There is no heaven. There's no Jesus. You haven't been adopted. You don't have a home. We can trust our own twisted version of reality. And we can believe in ourselves and what we know and what we've experienced, and we can impose our way of seeing things on the universe. And when we do that, think of this, we are insisting that Jesus change his vision of things and adopt our vision. So Jesus, you say that you and the Father are one and that you are sent by the Father and that you are come to rescue the lost children of Adam and that you have lifted us up in the life of God, but we say something completely different. So what we're saying is, Jesus, you have to let go of the way you see the Father and the way that you see us connected, and you have to accept what we see, what we believe, the God of our understanding. Think of this. We're really telling to Jesus to repent and believe in us. That really, if you get to the heart of unbelief, it's like, hey, repent and believe in us. So we can try and create our own way. And even there, Jesus is there and he will not forsake us. He comes and he's dealt with all of our vitriol, all our unbelief, all of our hatred, all of our mockery. Think of this. Jesus in the incarnation, do you understand? He doesn't just stay up here at the surface. I'll take humanity up here like before the fall. No. He takes on the humanity of Adam and he comes all the way down into our confusion, our chaos, our wrong-headed thinking. And it's right there on your worst day that Jesus looks at you and says, come unto me and I'm gonna show you what rest is. My peace, my shalom, I want to give you. Let me teach you about the Father's love and let me show you who you really are. Jesus comes there. Now, adoption, think of this, being included in this is not really something that we make happen. I think for too long in the church, we've kind of thought in these terms, and I'm being a little flippant with it, but we've thought, okay, so God's here, we're here. When I believe, when I get my act together, when I become a Christian, I come over here and I move from, I was on team B, separated from God, there was a gap, there was no eternal life, and I was going to hell, but now I've become a Christian, God writes my name, I'm on team A, I'm with God, I have eternal life, he washes, cleanses me, gives me his righteousness, and then he adopts me. So we've thought, really, do you see all the emphasis put on our belief, what we do, what we think, getting our religion right, then causes God to adopt us. Adoption isn't something that we make happen. It is the truth of things in Jesus. Jesus comes as, here's what he's referred to a lot. He comes as the anointed one, Messiah, which means he is dripping with the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, you had these figures and every now and then the Spirit comes upon them in a special, unique way and they do something, they perform something. But here comes one who is dripping in the Holy Spirit. And he comes to find us, and where he finds us is hiding in the bushes with Adam and Eve. We're naked and ashamed and we feel guilty and we sometimes create enough religion to keep God at bay. And Jesus comes to find us there. Now get this, this is so cool. Jesus comes to include us in his anointing in the Holy Spirit. You like that little movement? He has brought his relationship with the Holy Spirit into our world of flesh. We don't talk a lot about this in the church, but Jesus finds you hiding in the bushes on the worst day of your life, and he wants to include you in his relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the circle of life, the eternal dance that has always been, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this tight-knit circle from which everything in the universe originates, that circle opens up to make space for you. Now, there are many spirits that you and I can take on. There's the spirit of this, there's the spirit of that, but there is only one unique Spirit of God, and he lives in face-to-face fellowship with the Father and the Son, and he's right there in the midst of that community, that communion, that union. He's on equal terms, and he is the bond holding it all together. So I think some of the church fathers use the language of lover, beloved, love itself. Love itself is so powerful, it's a person. So he's the bond holding that together. And the Spirit's passion is fellowship, togetherness. He's that bond of love. So shared life. Last week, a lot of you were out here in this building and there was all this activity happening. People were serving each other and people were receiving blessing. What is that? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of togetherness and shared life. And he comes. You want to know how you know that you're included in the life of God? Because the Spirit comes. You see, he comes because we are included in that relationship with Jesus. Jesus unites himself to humanity and he lifts humanity up to the life of God. That was the goal. And the Spirit comes to communicate that to us. So think of it this way. Here's kind of an image. Jesus descends, right, in the incarnation from the throne room of heaven. He comes down. We were never going to reach that. So God comes down, he descends, but why does he descend? The purpose is for ascension, to lift us up, right? To plug us into the life of God. So Jesus does that, but when he ascends, doesn't it make sense now? The Spirit descends. The Spirit comes down to include us. If the Father and the Son have taken us in as their children, then the Spirit is released to help us to get to know that. To make sure we're aware of that. How would the Father and the Son embrace us and the Spirit not be a part of that? I have this image. I've used it so much I didn't use it again tonight, but the church fathers also talk about Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the two arms of God. So the Father reaches out to embrace us in the incarnation, it lifts us up in the ascension, and the Spirit comes and it wraps this arm around us to know that we are part of the divine embrace. So the Holy Spirit comes to share the life of the Father and the Son. Our identity is now those who have been included in that life. And you say, well, if people have been included in the life of God, then why is the world the way it is? Well, because we're blind as bats. And this explains the Spirit's passion to bring us to know it, to be in relationship with it, to experience the fruition of it in our lives. That's why he's called. He is the Spirit of adoption. You see that? He comes because you've been adopted, included, and embraced by God. You have a place at the table, so the Spirit comes. He himself is adoption. He's the guarantee that you know that. He is the Spirit of truth. This is what is reality. Now get this, the Holy Spirit learned how to communicate with us through Jesus' suffering and incarnation. Because who do you think is right alongside Jesus upholding him in the midst of that? We tend to think of Jesus like, you know, he had these 33 years and just maybe the last year was his passion. Heavens, no. Jesus' whole life was a passion. The forces of evil and darkness are on Jesus the whole of his life. He knows every temptation, every trial. He takes all. So the Spirit, who is animating him and giving him power to endure that? Hebrews has this crazy verse that says, although he was a son, he learned obedience. He never had to obey. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were in complete fellowship and unity. There was an obedience. There was just this mutual submission. Back and forth. But he becomes a human being, he has to learn obedience. The Spirit is there striving with him, helping him learn as he goes to know even what we know. Think of that. See, the Holy Spirit was always on the road to inhabit and to dwell in the fallen children of Adam. And what we're saying is, in Jesus, he's done that forever. Irenaeus said it like this, he has accustomed himself to dwell in the human race. The Holy Spirit went alongside Jesus, striving with Jesus, learning, empowering, animating Jesus along the way, and he's learning humanity. He's learning how to be our teacher, how to be our comforter, how to speak to us. So Irenaeus says he accustomed, he works himself in such a way so that he can dwell in our temples and he knows how to speak to us because he's seen our humanity at our worst. So you with me? I know this is a little bit not necessarily churchy talk. I'm doing it in my talk, okay? So Jesus brings the life of God. That makes sense, right? Incarnation, we've always taught that Jesus brings the life of God to us. We weren't that interested, so he comes to us. God accustoms himself to us. So he brings the kingdom. This is what God knows and experiences. This is the realm where what God wants done gets done. He brings the kingdom to us. He steps in our shoes and has our experiences, and he takes that life of God, excuse me, and he brings that to God. So when we say Jesus, we're saying a lot. We're saying the human race and God, who we always thought there was this chasm and separation, have been brought together in the one. That's what he's doing. And then, now, so hopefully this starts to make sense. And now, the Spirit then is released. That's what we celebrate somewhat at Ascension. Jesus goes up, Spirit comes down, and his job is to what? To bring humanity up to speed on the real world, on what's really going on in our lives. The goal being that you and I might participate in this relationship without any hindrance. We would know who we really are. That's the Holy Spirit's goal. His obsession, his zeal is to educate us and bring us up to speed and make real to us what is already real in Jesus. You already are adopted. You already included. You already the loved of God. And he has this vision of you. And the Holy Spirit comes to make that real to you. Not so that you'll just keep striving. I'll become someday eventually. No, that you will receive what you already are. That's why he comes. So the Spirit of adoption, he meets us in the chaos of our lives to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So if you don't mind deliverance, read this. This is from John 16. Just listen. Thanks be to God. So the Spirit's delight is to take the things of Jesus and relate them to us from the inside out so that we are released to be who we are, so that we might have abundant life, that we might be free, free indeed. The phrase, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that has taken on some funny meanings in the life of the church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't some oddity that takes place on the outside. Sometimes our Pentecostal charismatic brothers and sisters, we're for them. But sometimes they've had such a focus on the Holy Spirit that evangelicals have somewhat backed away from that and done the opposite. We don't even know who he is. We don't talk about him. We're not comfortable. So there's the two polarizing worlds. And sometimes in the Pentecostal realm, I sometimes think, wow, we've sometimes made it these oddity, these strange outside things because there hasn't been real inward change. See, it's easy to make it this, wow, look at these outward manifestations. Well, that's great. We're not totally against that either. But sometimes that's from lack of inward change. But then we can't go over here and go, well, we don't even know who this person is. How do we relate to him? How do we know him? We're saying in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has made it to the front room of our souls. And from that center, he begins to bear witness and to testify in your innermost caverns of your being. Those dark places you don't like to talk about that you think nobody knows, the Spirit bears witness there. And here's his goal. He wants to flood your soul with assurance. We function, whether we know it out or not, out of anxiety and fear and doubt. Every last one of us. Our center is that quagmire inside of us where we function from anxiety. Does this person like me? Do I have to sell them on this? I wonder if they find out that we function from this. The Holy Spirit wants to come in and wash all of that out and have you function from assurance. Because if he can come in the center of your soul and communicate there, you are loved, you are the beloved of God, you're included in his life, and that's who you are at the core of your being. If you're okay there, and I have assurance, then I have the freedom to come outside of myself and hear you, and see you, and love you, and to be heard and seen by you, and to be loved by you, and to receive that. If I'm not okay in the center, then I'm not going to have that kind of freedom. But when I do have that freedom and I come outside of myself, that leads to what? When we're doing this back and forth, that's shared life, right? That's the abundant life Jesus is talking about. That's fellowship and community. So assurance isn't some like nice byproduct of like, hey, glad some people have assurance, I don't. But no. It's a necessary thing. The Holy Spirit's moving in so that you function from this. He's freeing you to live out of your adoption. And he's washing you and cleaning you on the inside so that you're a person who has complete freedom to be who you are and to live in this abundant life, this back and forth flow. It's kind of like this image. You got a lot of gunk built up in there. That's why you function out of fear, anxiety, and doubt. And the Holy Spirit's washing that out so that now what's flowing through your pipes is assurance. And when you have that, when I'm with you, I can be with you. And not worry what you think about me. And I can bless the socks off you. Like last week, you guys were lost in what you were doing for those people. That's it. That's freedom. And guess what was happening here? Life. That was life. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's working from our insides to help us see through the fog of life to, number one, to know who God is in Christ. God has always been like Jesus. And then second of all, to know who we are in relationship to him. And then here's the Holy Spirit. His job is to help us take baby steps. Sorry, I thought of this picture. You ever watch What About Bob? I always think baby steps. But that's the Holy Spirit's job. He's helping you take baby steps into this reality. Here's how the scripture says it. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that what? That you can be children of God if you get your religion right. No, it bears witness with your spirits that you are the sons and daughters of the Father. Now, this is central. Hear me, please, on this. This is fantastic. Like, I kind of want to run around the room, but I'm going to contain myself. Jesus, we hear the Spirit cries in our insides these exclusive words of Jesus, Abba, Father. He cries that from within us. Now, hold on. I got the text up here for you. You can read it. Here's Galatians 4. Notice this. When we were children, we were kept in slavery under the elemental things of the world. That's the powers and the principalities and the forces of evil. You were held in slavery and bondage there. When the fullness of time, the perfect time arrived, God sent his son born, notice how it says it, born of a woman, flesh, born under the law, Israelite, so that he might redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, see the circle, God sends the Spirit of a son into your heart, calling out, Abba, Father, so you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir through God. And I think Paul would say, so act like it. Live, that's what you are. Quit being fearful of that. That's who you are at your core. Now operate and function out of that. A child of adoption. Now, get this. So the Spirit from inside of us cries out, Daddy. The scripture says this to us. No one knows the Father, right, except the Son. There's a lot of philosophers and theologians and church people out there that think they know the Father. No one knows the Father. No one has looked into the Father's eyes and heart and mind and knows his passion and his dreams and his hope for humanity except the Son, right? No one has ever heard, thou art my beloved son in whom my soul takes utter delight, except Jesus. And no one has ever responded back to that with, Daddy. You see that? No one's done that but Jesus. Good news alert. What we're saying is this, right in your worst day, in your worst moment, your worst decision, right there in your delusions of grandeur, the Holy Spirit comes and he cries Jesus' own cry of Abba, Daddy, because you're included in that. Because even though Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, so in the ascension we think, well, Jesus is absent, I don't see him. Even though he sits there at the right hand of the Father, he came in a moment in time and he embraced your confused mind and your wrong-headed thinking, and he saw things from your perspective, and he dwells with you even in that confusion through the Spirit. So even though he feels absent in the ascension, he is very present because he is at the core of your being crying out, Daddy. You're part of that. So the Holy Spirit takes Jesus, he pours that into us so that you and I can know and experience and feel and taste Jesus' own relationship with his Father. And then we are released, right? To be who we are from the inside out. I meant to be at this picture. Sorry. Ruined the dramatic moment. I think we try too hard with these. So from the inside out, he is at work in us, witnessing to us, here's the real world that's been reconstructed in Jesus, and you can function out of acceptance or out of scarcity. If you function out of scarcity, you're gonna go outside of yourself and try to recreate yourself, and I promise you, in some way or another, it will end in disaster. The Holy Spirit comes so that you can function out of acceptance, where you're not trying to become, but you're being who you are, who you've been made in Jesus. Now, let me share this last part with you, and then we're done, because I want this part to help us as we go outside these doors. I actually think this is what's going on inside of people. Like, I know there's other reasons too, but I'm saying at the core of spiritual problems with people, this is what people feel inside. Like, you come across the person who's angry, who's frustrated, is depression. There's a whole host of things. But I think if spiritually we dissected it, here's where people are at. They are placed on the razor's edge of over here is what they believe. It's what they've come to accept. It's how they think. They function and operate in that. And the real world, where the Holy Spirit has come to include them, is exposing this world as a contradiction, right? It's a violation of the real world in Jesus. So what happens is you've got the gospel being communicated to you from the inside, and here's this world in Jesus where you are loved and cherished and you have a place and you're included, but then here's your world, the mess you've made, your darkness and pain, and you feel that contradiction. Somewhere down deep, you feel that violation. And then the Holy Spirit from within is crying, Abba, Father. That is Jesus himself present in his life with the Father inside of you. So as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus in you, we all know intuitively down deep that there is more going on in our life than we ever imagined. People know, like that's why, C.S. Lewis says, that's why pain is so bad, because you know you were made for glory. You instinctively know it's gotta be better than this. So people feel that, that's what's going on in people's world. They feel that tension. They might not know how to say this right, but they feel this. We belong to glory. Psalm says this, you are God's. We say, well, that's heresy in the church. Small case G, but nonetheless God's. I mean, the New Testament, you are participants in the divine nature. You are loved, you are delighted in, you are danced over, you are safe, you have a home. People feel that tension. And the Holy Spirit inside begins to unveil that what you've had up to this point in life, it might be movement, it might be existence, but for a lot of people, it's a sad existence. See, friends, there's a great darkness in the land that leads people to have this terrible confusion inside their mind. And the Holy Spirit's trying to purge that darkness. He's trying to expel that out of us. Growth in grace, that's how the New Testament talks about being conformed to the image of Jesus. Growth in grace, or evangelicals say sometimes sanctification. I don't love that word for some reason, but Orthodox say theosis. I like that. But the way that we become more conformed to the image of Christ is an inside job. It's the fruit of the witness of the Holy Spirit right there in our darkness, where he's revealing Jesus to you and he's giving you eyes to see that which is inconceivable. And he's telling you, the tension is, you've been wrong. You thought God was this way. You thought the Bible says, and for other people, you thought there was no God, but there's a God and he's actually good and he's a father and he's always been after you. He's head over heels over you. He didn't want to be God without you. You see? So that's what we belong to. And the Holy Spirit's trying to expel that darkness. That's the fruit of his witness to us. And he's trying to tell you there's another way than your way. Right? There's another truth than your truth. There's another life beyond the life that you are living. So that's what I meant at the beginning. We say that love of God can also be unsettling because this is true, because what Jesus has done with us, Jesus and the Holy Spirit begin to expose to us. And what that does sometimes, it reveals our misery. We see the light and the beauty of the gospel and man lifted up to the throne of God here, and we see what we've made of our lives here, and we see that distance and we go, ah. Here's what people feel. There's a deep confusion in people. Ephesians says it's wrong-headed thinking. So people are in their confusion, and then, but there's that longing, and so there's more. There's gotta be more to life. So people go on a search, and if they search long enough and they don't find what they're looking for, they're gonna invent. This is where religion comes from. Well, if I jump through these hoops and I do these practices, then God might like me. And then the more I pursue that, the more emptiness I feel, and the more emptiness I feel just restarts that cycle over again. That's what's going on the insides. So the Holy Spirit's there, and makes us feel that. You see that? He kind of forces this crisis of decision. He's forcing the issue of faith in people. This is the tension people feel inside, I believe. Now, some people you come across, they're so blind that they're living hell on earth, and they are fine to stay there. They're okay with it. But this revelation of Jesus, this Holy Spirit inside of us begins to strip away all of our pretenses, and it begins to lay out our religion and all our masks and all the way we dress things, and it stirs up that emptiness that we feel. And so when you hear the gospel, when you see Jesus in heaven, and when you see humanity lifted into their home and God sharing his life with us, then that can reveal your hell. That can reveal your emptiness and begin to force the issue of faith. The question is, which world are you going to live in? The Holy Spirit's revealing Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit's working. He's creating this crisis of faith. Which are you going to believe? And he's trying to convict us of our foolishness. And the way he does that is, I like to say, he's haunting us with grace. In the midst of your world that seems so hard and difficult, and the suffering and the bad news you hear on the media and everything else, the Holy Spirit's haunting your insides with grace and saying, yeah, but actually this is a grace-filled world. This is what people do when they don't understand who they are. And I've come so that you would know you are the sons and daughters of the Father, so that you don't live this anymore. You see, all of human history is that. The Spirit bringing you and I up to speed on who we are, who Jesus is, and can we hear him? Will we encounter him even in our brokenness? Because he wants to help us to begin to discern good from evil, life from death, light from darkness, heaven from hell. And we begin to take those baby steps of faith, and then that releases the power of the Spirit more in us. Because friends, believing in Jesus, as I've said here many times before, is accepting our acceptance. It's accepting that you are accepted. Which is actually sometimes, I think, harder than accepting that you're not accepted. We kind of assume we're not accepted and we're not invited to the table, but accepting that we are, we've always had a place. God scooted over so that you can sit next to him. That's hard to fathom. Believing in Jesus is accepting our acceptance. It's receiving the Father's love that is so, so real. I'm off a little bit on him, and there you go. Receiving that Father's love that is so real. And you begin to receive Jesus' own freedom, his own assurance, his own confidence, his own boldness, his own life. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit begins to flourish in our humanity. And the hope of the world is this, that the Spirit of adoption, that he doesn't quit. His fervor, his obsession, his zeal is that we would all know who we are in Jesus, and that that would come to full expression in our humanity. That would come to full expression in our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves so that we're good here, in our relationship with others, and in our relationship with the planet. That's the goal. The glory of the Lord would fill the earth. So friends, he is tonight the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of adoption, and he will not rest until our reconciliation and adoption that has been made real in Jesus has taken shape in us, in our insides, and then on the outside through us to the whole earth. And in the meantime, everybody that you encounter this week, even Christian people, we live in this tension that there is this very real, resurrected, ascended presence of Jesus, and there's this very real Holy Spirit ministry inside of us. And between the beauty and the glory and the grandeur and the greatness of this, and sometimes the mess over here, oh, we live in that tension. We live in that tension. And so here's what we pray. Come, Holy Spirit of adoption and truth, and open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to help us know the Father's Son, to help us know the hope of glory that is in us, and to move beyond our darkness and our mess and our religion, and to walk in the freedom of your beauty and light. And so let us live and move and have our being in the reconciliation of the Father in Jesus. So that's our prayer always. Holy Spirit, come. I wonder, evangelical tradition, many of us remember we had devotions. I remember going to camp and we had to have like 30 minutes of devotion. Can you imagine seventh grade boy out in the middle of the wilderness and you tell him to go to his room and have 30 minutes of devotions, what that looked like for me? I had devotions, but I don't think it was what they were thinking of. What if we did this though? What if every day our feet hit the ground. We all have our certain routines. Some may go eat breakfast, some may shower right away. What if our prayer in those first waking moments of the morning was just, come, Holy Spirit, come. God is in us, God is around us, and the two are always trying to kiss. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, work in us. Your God is alive and well. I want to be the kind of person that is in the flow of the Spirit. So I go to this meeting, I meet with this person, I pray over this person, I encounter this, oh, there's a problem here, I'm in, come Holy Spirit, come. Let me function out of my adoption in Jesus, not my false self. I don't wanna meet with this person, here's what I have, here's what I do, and here's what people think of me. See, because that's not real. But I wanna function out of, I see you, I hear you, I love you, I wanna be helpful to you. And then the Holy Spirit's bringing that shared life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's as simple as coming to attention and saying, Holy Spirit, come. He comes often where he is invited. Tends not to force himself. Remember, he's accustomed himself to us, so he doesn't force himself, but he comes when invited. Let's be inviters. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are always here. We always pray that we're so thankful to be included in the life of God, that that's what's going on in our world, and we believe that the heart of the Trinity would come after us in space and time while we're naked and ashamed, hiding in bushes and don't really want it. And you take all that abuse and scorn and hatred, and that's, you penetrate down into that and you find us. You find us at our core and you share with us your gift of the Spirit. Let us be people that are abundantly aware, people that are practicing the presence. Let us hear this week at unique times. Let us be attentive this week to how the Holy Spirit cries, Daddy, from within us. May we feel that kind of intimacy and closeness and shared life. May that be what comes out of us. May every person we encounter this week encounter people who are functioning out of their acceptance and adoption and not to become. It is in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.